This is the reading for March 31st, Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our home since the beginning, before the mountains were born and before you created the earth and the world. You are God. You have always been and you will always be. You turn people back into dust. You say, go back into dust, human beings. To you, 1,000 years is like the passing of a day or like a few hours in the night. While people sleep, you take their lives. They are like grass that grows up in the morning. In the morning, they are fresh and new, but by evening, they dry up and die. We are destroyed by your anger. We are terrified by your hot anger. You have put the evil we have done right in front of you. You clearly see our secret sins. All our days pass while you are angry. Our years end with a moan. Our lifetime is 70 years, or if we are strong, 80 years. But the years are full of hard work and pain. They pass quickly, and then we are gone. Who knows the full power of your anger? Your anger is as great as our fear of you should be. Teach us how short our lives really are, so that we may be wise. Lord, how long before you return and show kindness to your servants? Fill us with your love every morning. Then we will sing and rejoice all our lives. We have seen years of trouble. Now give us as much joy as you gave us sorrow. Show your servants the wonderful things you do. Show your greatness to their children. Lord our God, treat us well. Give us success in what we do. Yes, give us success in what we do. Deuteronomy 25. If two people have an argument and go to court, the judges will decide the case. They will declare one person right and the other guilty. If the guilty person has to be punished with a beating, the judge will make that person lie down and be beaten in front of him. The number of lashes should match the crime, but don't hit a person more than 40 times, because more than that would disgrace him before others. When an ox is working in the grain, do not cover its mouth to keep it from eating. If two brothers are living together and one of them dies without having a son, his widow must not marry someone outside her husband's family. Her husband's brother must marry her, which is his duty to her as a brother-in-law. The first son she has counts as the son of the dead brother, so that his name will not be forgotten in Israel. But if a man does not want to marry his brother's widow, she should go to the older leaders at the town gate. She should say, "My brother-in-law will not carry on his brother's name in Israel. He refuses to do his duty for me." Then the older leaders of the town must call for the man and talk to him. But if he is stubborn and says, "I don't want to marry her," the woman must go up to him in front of the leaders. She must take off one of his sandals and spit in his face and say, "This is for the man who won't continue his brother's family." Then that man's family shall be known in Israel as the family of the unsandaled. If two men are fighting and one man's wife comes to save her husband from his attacker, grabbing the attacker by his sex organs, you must cut off her hand. Show her no mercy. Don't carry two sets of weights with you, one heavy and one light. Don't have two different sets of measures in your house, one large and one small. You must have true and honest weights and measures so that you will live a long time in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord your God hates anyone who is dishonest and uses dishonest measures. Remember what the Amalekites did to you when you came out of Egypt. When you were tired and worn out, they met you on the road and attacked all those lagging behind. They were not afraid of God. When the Lord your God gives you rest from all the enemies around you in the land he is giving you as your own, you shall destroy any memory of the Amalekites on the earth. Do not forget. Deuteronomy chapter 26. When you go into the land the Lord your God is giving you as your own to take it over and live in it, you must take some of the first harvest of crops that grow from the land the Lord your God is giving you. Put the food in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God will choose to be worshipped. Say to the priest on duty at that time, "Today I declare before the Lord your God that I have come into the land the Lord promised our ancestors that he would give us." The priest will take your basket and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall announce before the Lord your God, "My father was a wandering Aramean. He went down to Egypt with only a few people, but they became a great, powerful, and large nation there. But the Egyptians were cruel to us, making us suffer and work very hard. So we prayed to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and he heard us. When he saw our trouble, hard work, and suffering, the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his great power and strength, using great terror, signs, and miracles. Then he brought us to this place and gave us this fertile land. Now I bring part of the first harvest from this land that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and foreigners among you should rejoice, because the Lord your God has given good things to you and your family. Bring a tenth of all your harvest the third year, the year to give a tenth of your harvest. Give it to the Levites, foreigners, orphans, and widows, so that they may eat in your towns and be full. Then say to the Lord your God, I have taken out of my house the part of my harvest that belongs to God, and I have given it to the Levites, foreigners, orphans, and widows. I have done everything you commanded me. I have not broken your commands, and I have not forgotten any of them. I have not eaten any of the holy part while I was in sorrow. I have not removed any of it while I was unclean, and I have not offered it for dead people. I have obeyed you, the Lord my God, and have done everything you commanded me. So look down from heaven, your holy home, bless your people Israel, and bless the land you have given us, which you promised to our ancestors, a fertile land. Today, the Lord your God commands you to obey all these rules and laws. Be careful to obey them with your whole being. Today you have said that the Lord is your God, and you have promised to do what he wants you to do, to keep his rules, commands, and laws. You have said you will obey him, and today the Lord has said that you are his very own people, as he has promised you. But you must obey his commands. He will make you greater than all the other nations he made. He will give you praise, fame, and honor, and you will be a holy people to the Lord your God, as he has said.
Chapter 6.
Once on a day of worship, Jesus was walking through some grain fields. His disciples were picking the heads of grain, removing the husks, and eating the grain. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are your disciples doing something that is not right to do on the day of worship?" Jesus answered them, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his men were hungry? Haven't you read how he went into the house of God, ate the bread of the presence, and gave some of it to the men who were with him? He had no right to eat those loaves. Only the priests have that right." Then he added, "The Son of Man has authority over the day of worship." On another day of worship, Jesus went into a synagogue to teach. A man whose right hand was paralyzed was there. The scribes and the Pharisees were watching Jesus closely. They wanted to see whether he would heal the man on the day of worship so that they could find a way to accuse him of doing something wrong. But Jesus knew what they were thinking. So he told the man with the paralyzed hand, "Get up and stand in the center of the synagogue." The man got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, what is the right thing to do on a day of worship? To do good or evil? To give a person his health or to destroy it?" He looked around at all of them and then said to the man, "Hold out your hand." The man did so, and his hand became normal again. The scribes and Pharisees were furious and began to discuss with each other what they could do to Jesus. At that time, Jesus went to a mountain to pray. He spent the whole night in prayer to God. When it was day, he called his disciples. He chose 12 of them and called them apostles. They were Simon, whom Jesus named Peter, and Simon's brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was also called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Jesus came down from the mountain with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples and many other people were there. They had come from all over Judea, Jerusalem, and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. They wanted to hear him and be cured of their diseases. Those who were tormented by evil spirits were cured. The entire crowd was trying to touch him because power was coming from him and curing all of them. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Blessed are those who are poor. The kingdom of God is theirs. Blessed are those who are hungry. They will be satisfied. Blessed are those who are crying. They will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, avoid you, insult you, and slander you because you are committed to the Son of Man. Rejoice then and be very happy. You have a great reward in heaven." That's the way their ancestors treated the prophets. "But how horrible it will be for those who are rich. They have had their comfort. How horrible it will be for those who are well fed. They will be hungry. How horrible it will be for those who are laughing. They will mourn and cry. How horrible it will be for you when everyone says nice things about you." That's the way their ancestors treated the false prophets. "But I tell everyone who is listening, love your enemies. Be kind to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who insult you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other cheek as well. If someone takes your coat, don't stop him from taking your shirt. Give to everyone who asks you for something. If someone takes what is yours, don't insist on getting it back. Do for other people everything you want them to do for you. If you love those who love you, do you deserve any thanks for that? Even sinners love those who love them. If you help those who help you, do you deserve any thanks for that? Sinners do that too. If you lend anything to those from whom you expect to get something back, do you deserve any thanks for that? Sinners also lend to sinners to get back what they lend. Rather, love your enemies, help them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then you will have a great reward. You will be the children of the Most High God. After all, He is kind to unthankful and evil people. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Stop judging and you will never be judged. Stop condemning and you will never be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and you will receive. A large quantity, pressed together, shaken down, and running over will be put into your pocket. The standards you use for others will be applied to you. Jesus also gave them this illustration. Can one blind person lead another? Won't both fall into the same pit? A student is no better than his teacher, but everyone who is well trained will be like his teacher. Why do you see the piece of sawdust in another believer's eye and not notice the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to another believer, "Friend, let me take the piece of sawdust out of your eye," when you don't see the beam in your own eye? You hypocrite! First remove the beam from your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the piece of sawdust from another believer's eye. A good tree doesn't produce rotten fruit, and a rotten tree doesn't produce good fruit. Each tree is known by its fruit. You don't pick figs from thorny plants or grapes from a thorn bush. Good people do the good that is in them, but evil people do the evil that is in them. The things people say come from inside them. Why do you call me Lord, but don't do what I tell you? I will show you what everyone who comes to me, hears what I say, and obeys it is like. He is like a person who dug down to bedrock to lay the foundation of his home. When a flood came, the floodwaters pushed against that house, but the house couldn't be washed away because it had a good foundation. The person who hears what I say but doesn't obey it is like someone who built a house on the ground without any foundation. The floodwaters pushed against it, and that house quickly collapsed and was destroyed.